Ephesians chapter 1 and take a look at verse 17. And Lord, now we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. How your word illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, lost, deceptive world, Lord. How we need your word to help us to navigate through so we can live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the lamp and thank you for the light of your word. We would be lost without it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Ephesians 1 and 17. So for last year, I gave us the challenge to pray and fast each morning. Amen. So I know some churches, they have praying and fasting, you know, 7 days, 21 days. But I just believe in praying and fasting each morning. Well, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that before you get up, and I know that we're all busy, but if you can't get up 5 minutes earlier to give God 5 minutes, then you are too busy. You really are too busy and you need to slow down. But I'm saying get up 5 minutes. Make a note, I believe it's Mark 9:29, where Jesus said, "This kind, this kindred only come but by praying and fasting." Some things that you can deal with prayer, but this kind comes by praying and fasting. And so I'm saying that because I know some of us are on medication that you can't fast throughout the day, but before you get up, just kneel on the side of your bed, take 5 minutes and say, "God, in the name of Jesus, I'm calling on your word. It says some things only come but by praying and fasting. So I'm praying and fasting now." And since you haven't eaten since last night, that's still considered a fast because the first meal of the day is called breakfast when you break your fast. It's two words. So everyone can fast. So I'm not saying we're going on a 21-day fast. No, I'm saying wake up every morning and fast and pray. Tap into the power of God every morning and watch God transform your life. But as you do that, look at verse 17, and this is the prayer. In addition to the prayer that's on the back of your bulletin, which I took from scriptures as well, combination of scriptures, this is Paul praying in verse Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, here's the prayer, and you make it personal, that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Amen. Verse 18, that my eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, which is in me. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards me who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. That should take about 2 to 5 minutes. This scripture right here, Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. Amen. Every morning. Yes. And then however else the Lord leads your heart. But ask God, look, here's the key. In verse 17, that we want the spirit of wisdom. Why do you want the spirit of wisdom? Because either you're married or either you're single. You need the spirit of wisdom either way. Somebody say amen. Amen. You need it. If you're single, you need the spirit of wisdom on relationships, on people that come into your life. Remember, people come into your life for two reasons: to push you closer to God or to pull you further away. That's the only reason people come into your life. And the spirit of wisdom will let you know what? This is not even right. Don't waste your time. And remember verse 17, we're not just praying. It says the spirit of revelation. When we come to church, when we come to the scriptures, we don't want information. We want revelation. You go anywhere and get information. Go to school and get information. That's okay. But church and through the scriptures, pray for the revelation. God, show me, give me the insight, the discernment on each and every situation. Amen. You might be trying to decide, am I going to leave this job? I'm going to start this ministry. I'm going to get married this year. You need the spirit of revelation. God, show me. Verse 18, here's the key phrases. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. God, open my eyes so I can see this, so I can see clearly what's going on. I don't know why you want to go through the day-to-day life and not know what they say in the neighborhood, what's really going on. Amen. God, show me what's really going on. What's the motive behind the motive behind the motive? Key phrases that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Underline in the saints. The ones who are sanctified, the ones in the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Our hope, our new year is in God. It's in Christ. God, show me what's in you, because the world is trying to paint another picture, but you have something else for me. You have riches. I inherit it from you. And then verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Wow, his power exceeds greatness. God is the greatness, but his power exceeds greatness. And of his towards us. Who what? Who believe. And that word believe means committed, surrendered, submitted to God. Because remember in James, in the book of James, it says that the devils believe and they tremble. So this is a different one. This is saying those who are surrendered, submitted, and committed. Not just believing. If you just believe only, you believe in God, that's okay, but you're still on the level of a devil. You have to rise above that and become a saint. If you're not a saint, then you are an ain't. That's right. You want to be a saint, you don't want to be an ain't. According to the work of whose power? Underline his mighty power. So you and I, we have some power, but I prefer to operate under God's mighty power. I want to trust God's mighty power this year. So that's the charge. Pray that every day. We did it last year. Some of us took the challenge. We prayed and fasted last year. And we saw through the ups and the downs, through the midst of our struggles, that God was with us. God reminded us each morning before we walked outside of the house that he was with us. Just a certain confidence in God that you have, not in ourselves, but in God, that it's going to be all right. All right, so that's the charge. So here we go with the message today. Turn to Ephesians 4 and 30. And we're going to get a little deep, but not complicated, but it's going to get deep. But we need to know why we're sealed with the Holy Spirit and why it's so important to embrace God. And I'm just going to charge us as we go out this year, each and every day, that we keep what I'm getting ready to share, that you keep it in the forefront of your mind, of how serious life is, how delicate it is, and how important it is. We talked about the first church, and all they did was preached, they taught Jesus Christ because it was that important. And so here's why we're sealed. Here's why it's important to know why you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So here we go, so I just want to read this, and I'm going to another book in another chapter. But verse 30, I said Ephesians 4:30, it says, and grieve not, don't disappoint this year. Somebody say this year. This year, don't disappoint the Holy Spirit of God. Don't just do your best to live for God. Don't disappoint the Holy. Don't disappoint him this year. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit seals you. It puts a mark. That word seal means mark. It means oiled up. It means smeared. There's an identifying mark on you and I when we embrace Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And that's between you and God, because only God can look into your heart and see what's there. And when he looks, he sees the seal of the Holy Spirit. He said, "That's my beloved son or daughter. Come on up." And nobody knows that but you and God. If you've actually embraced Christ, if you have a personal relationship with him, that's between you and God. But it's important to know that you are sealed. It's an identifying mark on you and I, those of us that have truly embraced Jesus Christ. That's good news. All right, here's why. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Oh, Pastor, you going deep? I got to go deep today. Happy New Year. Because this world is going to try and sell us a bill of goods and get us distracted from the truth. And it's so serious, folks. Brother Archie, I was talking with Dr. West. You all know Dr. West. He came and did the installation. He gave the message when I got installed, for those of you who were there. So we're talking this yesterday. We talked yesterday and Friday. And Dr. West is also the chaplain of Upland PD. So he got a call the day after Christmas, the 26th. Young man had a motorized scooter, 12 years old. You know, his mom is feeling really bad because she got him that motorized scooter, and he kind of darted out the driveway, got hit by a car. When Dr. West got to the hospital, they had just pronounced him dead. And so he spent time with the family and everything. And 12 years old, and he was going to the rosary Friday night when I spoke to him. So that's when he was sharing the story with me. And said, you know, the mom feels really bad. Can you imagine Christmas? He didn't even make it to the New Year's, 12 years old. I mean, it's not guaranteed tomorrow. That's why we can't take it for granted. So here we are. Did I say Revelation 20, 11? Revelation 20, 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You can run, but you cannot hide from God. We need to start running to God and not from God. It is no place to hide. You can play hide and seek every day you want to, but there's going to come a time where there's no place to hide. This is why it's so important that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, that when we go out on our job, that we are trying to share the word, that we're trying to make disciples. So we don't have the Holy Spirit just to be saved, but we have it for good works, that we go out and we're sharing the gospel. Just want to put the year in perspective as we go out, because that's your co-worker. That's some people in your family. That's some of your kids. That's your grandkids. That's the people you see at the gym, the people you see at the supermarket, the ones on your team, the ones at school, the one you say that you love, but you have to share Christ with them, because we don't know what a day might bring. And we're not going to be able to run from this one. So use the power of the Holy Spirit to go out and share. Okay, why? Because here we are in verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great. Doesn't matter. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how many songs you've written. I don't care how many TV movies you made and big screen movies and how much money you have in the bank or how little you have in the bank. I don't care how many corners you stood on with your sign. It says small and great. You're going to stand right there before God. And the books were open. Somebody underline, the books were open. That's good news and that's bad news, that God is keeping a record of your life. That's the good news. And the bad news is God's keeping a record of your life. Books, plural. The books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Underline that one. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So as Christians, we're going to be judged according to our works after we are saved. You should be working for God after you're saved. We don't work to get saved, but after we're saved, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We should be working for God. And we will be judged based upon the work that we did for God. Not to get into heaven, but be judged on those things. And if you're not saved, you're going to be judged on your works that you did outside of God. Somebody say amen. Somebody say ouch. That's a bad day. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. We heard of another plane crash. I'm praying that none of you are going to take Malaysia Airlines anywhere. It's the third one within a year. I'm being silly, but anyway. But they're recovering bodies from the sea. So whether they get them or not, I guarantee you God's going to get them. What does it say right in verse? And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. I'm telling you, you're not going to hide from this one. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whoa. Oh, that's deep. It's a little complicated. It is. The key question is, how do I get my name written into the book of life? Amen. When you embrace Jesus Christ, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you get sealed with the Holy Spirit. That mark is on you and your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. They say if you're, once we're born once, then we get born again, so we're born twice. When you accept Christ, that's why I call, and that's John 3:3. Christ said you must be born again if you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you're born twice, you die once. But if you're born once and you don't get born again, you're going to die twice. It says death and hell was thrown into the lake of fire. That's the second death. Did I say Happy New Year? Family, I just want us to know the seriousness of the nature of us sharing the gospel this year. Us inviting folks to church. They say this time of year, this season, if 75 to 80% of the people that you ask to come to church, they will come. And coming to church just does not save you, just like sitting in your garage does not make you a car. Amen. So coming to church doesn't save you, but it is a great place to hear the word of God and to get challenged where you are in life. Three questions we all have to deal with, but most people run from. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where do I go when I leave here? Three questions we have to deal with. Most people stay self-medicated. They do everything. They get caught up in everything so they never have to deal with those three questions. God has called us just to share the gospel. You're planting. When you share with someone, you're planting or either you're watering, but God said he gives the increase. We read last week where he said his word should not return unto him void, but it's going to accomplish that what he sent it out to do. But if we're not watering and planting, then what does God have to work with? The seriousness of it. But there is good news. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Verse chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Somebody underline new. Happy New Year. It's a new heaven. It's a new earth that's coming. And the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. So all this that we're working for, we talked about it, is just going to pass away. And only what you do for is going to last. Wow. And you all know, I shared before, I'm probably the one of the most ambitious pastors that there's out there. And I know I love being in business for myself. I love doing things. I love touching lives. But I know at some point all that means nothing, and only what I do for Christ is going to last.
Amen.
This is the most rewarding thing. Oh, and by the way, 2 years ago today, you all officially voted me in as pastor. Amen. 2 years ago, the first Sunday of, 2013, and here we're at 20. So you all are so kind, but this is the most incredible journey, the most rewarding thing I've ever done is get to share life every week to God's people and anybody else who will listen. What a blessing. We come here to hear life, to be put back in perspective, that God loves us. Christ is coming back. Make a note of it. And during this week, at some point, read Acts, I believe it's Acts 1:9, where it talks about this same Jesus. After he went up, he ascended. Jesus was here for 40 days after he was resurrected. Hear what I'm saying? The evidence of his resurrection. He was here 40 days preaching and teaching. That's what turned the disciples' lives around. And that's why they didn't shut up until they were killed.
All right.
They wouldn't stop talking about it. 40 days after he was resurrected. And remember, the only one that died a natural death was John. And so in Acts 1:9, after he's 40 days, he's teaching and preaching, he just ascends up into heaven. And then the angels and the disciples are just looking, whoa. And they said, look, he told you, you got work to do. You all need to go out and share the gospel. But this same Jesus, as you saw him, as he went up, he's coming back for you. That's our hope. He's coming back. We have work to do in the meantime, and only what we do for Christ will last. So as you're going about your day to day, make sure you share Christ with someone when given the opportunity. Make sure that your life is reflecting Christ. Turn with me quickly. We're coming back here. Turn with me quickly. Natalie, I told you we're going to be all over the place. Where do I want to go? 2 Corinthians. I believe that's where I want to go. 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3:2. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Natalie, you all right. You smooth, Natalie. You smooth back there. And this is Paul talking about the changed lives prove ministry is what my heading says. And he's talking to the Christians at Corinth. He said, you are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Paul is saying that we're living epistles, that your life is the only Bible that some people will ever read. Verse 3, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the what? The Spirit of the living God. Not in the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ toward God. Verse 5, I love it. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is in God.
Amen.
Key verse, underline verse 2. You are epistles. You are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Paul is saying, he was telling them, I don't need to write you a letter. I don't need to write you a letter of recommendation. I don't need to say anything. People should be able to read you and read your life and know that you're a Christian.
Amen.
You are the only Bible in 2015 that some people will read. They're not going to have time to sit down and go through the scriptures, but they'll have time to sit down and look at you, observe you, and talk to you. You're the only Bible that your kids will see. Sometimes, as they're growing up, they can read the word, but they're going to look at you and I and read us. Did I say Happy New Year? All right, let's get back to Ephesians. I'm sorry, let's get back to Revelations. Let me close this up. Let's look at 21 and 5. Remember, in 20, Christ is on the throne. He's judging. They talk about the new heavens and new earth. He wipes away all the tears, thank God, and all the former things. Let's start at 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Thank you, Jesus. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It's not going to, we can't even imagine what it's going to be like, but it's not going to be like this. Highlight verse 5. Make a note by verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make a few things new. There you go. It's making all things new. That's why our hope isn't in the new year. Our hope is in the one who created everything, including the new year. Amen. That's where our hope is, because he's going to make all things new. He can make your life new this morning if you don't have a relationship with him. Can seal you with that Holy Spirit, and you'll know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. He can make it new for you. But you have to accept him. Verse 5, let me get through this. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. And as if he didn't know, he gave him his credentials. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's how I can make all things new, because he is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. The Spirit of God fills us, and we never have to thirst again for anything. He that overcometh, oh, you got to go through some things. He that overcometh, hold on. Remember, he's talking to the seven churches. He's talking to the church. He said, you got to overcome, because you're dealing with the lot. Inside the church, outside the church, persecution, the world, everything you're dealing with. He said, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son, which is we shall be his people. So that's the beauty of coming to church, because we overcome together. We get through this thing together, because it was tough times in 2014. There'll be tough times in 2015, but we'll overcome. We will have the victory as we go through together. Amen. You do want to be in church in 2015. Amen. But look what he says in verse 8, but the fearful, and that word fearful, I don't know if you have the translation, says, but the cowardly. He's saying, don't be a coward. You got to live for God in 2015. Stop being a coward. Stop being intimidated by the world and other people and what they're going to think about your commitment to God. Stop being a coward. That was the number one. Don't be a coward. You can't be a coward and serve God. It's the toughest thing you ever do. We had the ceremony for the young ladies when they received their promise rings on Wednesday night. Told them it'd be the toughest thing you ever do living for God. You can't be a coward in this walk. Amen. They persecuted and killed Christ. They're going to give you a break? I doubt it. He said, don't be a coward, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. She have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. It is important that we know that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's important that we understand that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's important that we pray and fast each morning. Because as we walk on this journey, there's just things we're going to come up against, and we have to know that God is with us. We're going to stop right there. If you'll bow your heads just for a minute. If you bow your head just for a minute. The new year always brings hope. But remember, our hope is in the one who created the new year. 2015 years ago, Christ split time in half. Do the research. That's all I tell people. Do the research. Research the founder of Christianity. Jesus Christ. Anything that you're into, research the founder, see what it was built on. And you'll see that nothing compares to Jesus Christ. No organization, no association, nothing compares to Jesus Christ, the God-man, God in the flesh, split time in half. And yes, he did say he was God. And then he proved it when he rose on that third day. You might say, Pastor, well, I haven't accepted Christ into my heart, but I think I need to. I know, matter of fact, I know I need to. If you want to be sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we'll pray and we'll make sure of it today. If that's you, you want to accept Christ for the first time, go ahead and elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you and pray for you right now. We don't want to wait till tomorrow because that's really not promised. What we have is this moment and this time right now. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life going into 2015. What a great start. What a great time. Here's a new year. You have nothing in front of you but the hope of a changed life in Jesus Christ. Being able to walk with Christ daily. Forgetting those things which are behind. 2014, yes, it was here, but now it's gone. You have this moment and you have 2015. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life, you want to walk with Christ in 2015 even stronger, go ahead and elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home. Say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I don't have a church home. I love the worship. I love the love of the people. I love the word. This is a place I feel I can grow and learn and find my ministry, my method, and my purpose in God. If that's you, you're looking for a church home, elevate your hand. Lord, how we thank you on today. How we bless you on today. We love you, Lord. We recognize there's none like you and there's nothing too hard for you. I'm going to invite my two college men up, Elijah and Jalen. You guys come up. I know you're headed back to college next week. And just want to cover you guys as you stand right here. Take a few minutes just to pray over you guys. Guys would face me. Good to see you all. Lord, we thank you for this day, this new year, Lord. We thank you for our young men here who are both away from home in other states, representing you, representing their families, representing themselves. So, Lord, we pray for them that you would cover them as we're surrounding them now, Lord, that you would cover them with your love, that you would teach them through each and every situation and circumstance, Lord. We don't tell them what to do and what not to do. We tell them that God is listening, God is looking, God is speaking, God is teaching in each and every situation. And we pray that their ears would always be sensitive to the voice and the Holy Spirit of God. So we thank you for them, Lord, and we pray that they would be instruments of righteousness at their prospective colleges, Lord. We pray that they would share the good news when given the opportunity, that they would be the living epistles, Lord, that the other young men, the other athletes would recognize that it's something different about them. Give them the opportunity to share the goodness of Jesus Christ with someone who's maybe lost hope. Strengthen them, comfort them, challenge them, convict them, be with them, Lord. Pray for us as parents, Lord, that we would trust you with them, Lord. We've trained them up as far as we can take them, Lord, and now they're developing their own relationship with you as well as they should. So we don't play Holy Spirit, Lord, but we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and direct them. Be with them. Thank you for their life. Thank you for all that they mean to the body of Christ and to this church. We cover and bless them. Now, I give them safe travel as they get on the plane this week, some point this week, and get them there safely, Lord. And let them just jump right back into being the men of God that you've called them to be. Let them have a great college experience in you, Lord. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You all stand to your feet. Give somebody a hug. God bless you. You are dismissed. Hey, Biggie.
How you doing?
Love you, man. Good, man. Good to see you, man.
Appreciate it.
We were pulling for you guys out in.
That was a man. That was a tough one. All right. That was a tough one. Playing around.
Say, you get to those bowl games, they don't be playing around. He was. Hey, Bubble Buddy. His team was on TV.